We are here on the 23rd episode of the Indigo Podcast, hosted by Mr. B and Fat Caesar, and this is the 23rd episode, the main ingredient.
Based off, made sure to say it really fast to let everybody know it's Mr. B and Fat Caesar.
Because you're damn right.
Because it had that last week.
Yeah, you took over that shit, you ass. Anyway, you know, shout out to. Fuck you. But yo, we here, the main ingredient. And if you know some of y'all dumbass people who will listen to Lil Yachty and Lil Uzi Vert don't know what the fuck that name means, it's an album title from CL Smooth and Pete Rock. But we're gonna get into that in this episode. But I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. This is the Indigo Podcast. Cue the motherfucking instrumental. We are here. I just came back from a very fruitful vacation to Massachusetts and Sturbridge, you know.
This nigga really was in Saudi Arabia and he had like 8 hoes with him in the jacuzzi. That's why
None of that, man. None of that. I was with family, you know how, you know, I value family vacations a lot, so I can't wait for the next big family vacation that we're going to be going on in 2018. We go to Disney with the little kids, you know, my nieces and nephews, because, you know, they're old enough so they can appreciate the value a little bit more than taking them like little babies and shit. But went to Sturbridge, Massachusetts. As some of y'all don't know, I have family over there. My uncle, Thomas Satch Sands, who's been like over 9-time WWE champion, a 9-time NBA champion with the Boston Celtics in the beginning years of
when they were nice,
when they were super nice, when they had Bill Russell and everybody, went to this giant lake house, you know, they have a really beautiful house. I like coming to every damn time. I think I might do a little visit by myself one day, and what I got from this trip is a lot of advice, business-wise. You know, being around your family that understands that you're trying to be an entrepreneurial-minded person and that a job is really stunting my growth. It is. You know, learning new things, getting a different perspective on different things has really, really helped me a lot. And I think I came back to Jersey City, I really set out to change a lot of things that's been really stunning my growth a lot. Like not having people pay for, you know, services that I give, like blog coverage, making EPKs and bios and shit. Like I'm from now on, like I'm charging and I will be making it that when I charge you for this.
Get a quote right now.
No, we cannot get a quote right now. You will have to actually email me at cbowers.gem@gmail.com and we'll be able to negotiate. I'll say, like, to write a bio, it'll be $50. Because I know people who charge an arm and a leg to write a fucking bio for somebody. I actually have a template that can actually, you know, you can answer certain questions, 10 questions that can gear me towards writing you the perfect biography. And not only that,
I got a bachelor's in business, just to let y'all know.
Like, so, business, and not only business, but in like, you know, I didn't go for music business. That was a dumb thing I didn't do. And what made me so mad about that is that during the time I'm nearly done with getting my business degree, they started having music business classes. And I was like, fuck them, seriously. I really would have wanted that class.
You know what? Shout out to family members that, you know, they think they know what's best for you and tell you not to major at what you should have been majoring. And then years later, you realize you should have not listened to your family member, you know?
Oh man,
Shout
fuck
out to those family
that.
members.
And I'm telling
Shout out
y'all
to my
this.
wife who just interrupted me right now by telling me don't forget to wash the dishes.
Yeah, shout out to Tiff, man. And I'll tell you this right now, like everything got to change in how Golden Era Music Group runs because, nigga, we broke. Like I'm gonna be fucking blunt and frank with all of you. Like, yeah, we had the great projects, the great music, the podcast, all that shit. We had all these things going on, but no monetary stuff is coming out of it. We're not making money off of it.
I'm glad that you brought that up right now because, like, you know, along with yourself, obviously, I want to extend an invitation to those of you who are hungry, open-minded, and willing to try something new. And, you know, you're not going to get paid right away, but you're going to build something that's going to eventually generate money. And that could be your money.
What he is trying to say is that we're trying to get interns. I will tell you this right now. I am like the everyman right now, and I'm trying to be the one man. I need to be able to do what I am very skilled in. And it's best for people who are very great at what they do, like in graphic design. Like, I'm tired of doing these damn single cover arts and stuff like that, and I don't think it gets the response that it deserves. I'd rather a person who's a very adept or has their own certain style to take over those reins. I'm probably gonna get somebody who's very, very savvy with talking with blogs and getting coverage for Golden Era Music Group artists. And not only that, for Golden Era Music Group artists, I will have make it that if I do any work for a client, meaning like, you know, the EPK work or the other stuff, you know, getting blog covers for that person, the intern will get a 10% cut of that entire transaction.
So look at that. You still offering to feed a little something, you know, and that, and there's a lot of labels that they ain't doing that. They ain't feeding nobody. You know, the homie True Lex, he could tell you some stories. He was an intern at a label before. So
yeah. You know, like all I got when I was working at my intern at Rock Ridge Music, all I got was a fucking was a card and a goodbye. And that was it. Like nothing else, like to be honest. But at the end of the day, I do value that experience because that experience helped me formulate Golden Era Music Group. And I said, like, you know what? I'm going to use some of the tactics that they've used that helps them stay in business for mine, but put a twist on hip hop, knowing that I have a very vast knowledge of hip hop and vast knowledge of the culture to, you know, use as my weapon in this game. And
I will say, I got to give you props, man, because, like, you know, I'm a little older than you and everything, and I can honestly say, for the most part, you are my hip-hop equal when it comes to information of the culture. Like, you can hang, like, I could bring up, you know, certain eras where you might have been a little too young, and me, I was living the era, and you know just as much. And then not only that, you have also been the guy that keeps niggas like me in style. And what I mean by that is, like, there are, you know, I'm always learning new artists. Like, there are new artists that you've put me on to. And, you know, it's always given me a hope for hip hop and for the culture, you know, aside from ourselves, like, obviously the squad, where, you know, we are diverse MCs. We all have different styles and do different things, and I think we all bring something to the category. But it's also good learning, you know, about new artists
You know what's so crazy about it? I have this thing when I find like new artists and shit, I feel like every time I find them, they end up blowing up. And I'm like, you know, why can't it be like this with all of us, man? But I think eventually we'll blow up. I think, you know, it has its time. It'll have a time when it happens.
For me, you know what? I was watching. I know, you know, you say you don't got cable, so you didn't get to watch it, but like, I was watching Atlanta on FX.
I watched it on YouTube. Thank you, FX, for putting that episode on YouTube. I like that show. Like, I wish I had cable, but
luckily I do have cable. My wife loves the show too. We watched it together. We're gonna be watching it together. But like, yo, me, you know, with my age and everything, like I relate. Like I look at Paperboy and I'm like, yo, I relate. I feel him. Like, you know, he's trying to do the damn thing. And one thing, the scene, spoiler alert, and if y'all don't like it, too bad. But you know, when my mans went to the radio station with a stack of money and the song, I was just like, yo, that's real. Like, people been telling me that down here, like, yo, you got dope music, you just need money to get it into the DJ's hand.
Oh yeah, so I'm a huge fan of the show. I actually liked what I saw, and if I had cable, I watched the entire season. Hopefully, it'll come out on Netflix because every other Netflix, every FX series just came on the Netflix before. So
But I'll
where
tell
am
you
I?
this, after I get, you know, deep a couple episodes or whatever, you know, I might give you the homie hookup and give you that Comcast password so you could go online and you could use their on demand, you know.
Oh man, that would be awesome. That would be awesome. But I think FX has their own on-demand type shit, so they don't have it on Comcast. I'm not really sure how it really works.
They probably have it on Comcast, and if they don't have it on Comcast, they have it on the computer, period, and it's probably free. Like, I think OWN is free too.
Word. But man, into the episode, man. Like Crates 2 is fucking out, and I can say it's doing pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. It's like it's not as much
Yo, shout out to Spain.
as
Like, you know, because that's my favorite beat on that.
Oh, unnamed. Yeah, man. Dope producer from Spain. Yeah, I know a lot of people like looked at that name, was like, "How you pronounce this shit?" And I found out when I looked at his email and it said unnamed, and I was like, "Oh, okay, I get it." Yeah, shout out to Unnamed out in Spain, man. Like, yo, gave me two dope beats. He ended up on the project twice. Big shout out, being that I've been emailing mad blogs about Crates 2 and whatever, and I've been saying like, "Hey, oh, like,
Yeah. How's that been going?
yeah." Oh, I've been trying to say I'm gonna promote this site, the post on all social medias, promote the shit on the podcast. But you know what? No bites. It's all right. I'm not gonna get mad about it because I want to shout out Beat Tape Co-op for putting up the doggone Beat Tape before I even emailed them. I was like, wait a minute. I was about this close to emailing them. And I went on the site and it was already there. I was like, oh fuck. All right, that's good. It tells how in tune, they are with it. And I gotta shout out BT Co-op for showing mad love to the Crates movement, man. And
You know what? I think it's a good time that you put out Crates with everything that's going on right now.
oh,
Because, and,
go ahead.
but see, you gotta hear me out on what I mean, because you're probably like, okay, what do you mean?
Yeah,
So
please.
you have two things that's going on right now, right? One of them, I'm not gonna go into detail yet because it's gonna be part of one of our segments, but the whole Lil Yachty thing has created, you know, the setting for hip hop fans to be like, yo, should we care about the bars? should we care about this or that, and what happened to the soul in hip hop? And then you have shows like The Get Down, creating movements now where people are getting reinterested in sampling because it looked so dope. And then when Grandmaster Flash got on Hot 97 and broke it down, like how it worked and how no rappers would even be rapping over nothing if it wasn't for the technique he invented, like a lot of people are starting to dig back into the crates, looking at samples. And like I'll be honest, some of the direction of my album changed. Like my album's gonna have a little more soul into it now too. Like I got some beats that I was just like, yo, yeah, like I'm not gonna call it sampling because it's not fully sampling. It's more like resampling. And it's just like, yo, this is what's missing in hip hop is not continuing the soul. So it's like you putting out crates right now, and crates follows that whole method.
I think that's what I really set out to do with this project. I have produced like Synoptic International and the Beatphonics crew, like my biggest inspirations, and they're like overseas. I know Synoptic International, I think it's Kentucky based, but it has nothing but international producers. But for me to just have a general connection with the producer, and they really like when they tell like most of the people that get onto this project, like I always get afraid of getting told no. And that's why probably I have not progressed well in life. I hate being told no, so I don't ask shit. But this project has helped me, if I word something correctly to a point that you can agree with it, to a point that you'd be like, yeah, you know what, that would be cool. But I don't want to be a part of that. And I think it took for two crates tapes to come out. They're like, you know what? This is seems like it's gonna be an ongoing thing. On with this, and let me be a part of it. Like for the first time, like somebody actually contacted me to be on the tape. So and wait for those beats to come in. I got other beats that are gonna be coming in, and Crates Volume 3 is gonna come not in 2 months, like I always say it's supposed to do. But this will be the last one of 2016. And I'm gonna go out with a bang. I'm gonna make sure I'm pushing it back to Thanksgiving. So I wanna have at least 25 to 30 tracks on this one so I can leave it
And what
on a
about the
good note.
contest?
The contest, what about that contest? Like to be honest, rappers I'll like when you had the homeboy had who dropped the something on one of the songs, I need more than one person. That's just not a contest. And when people are not really on it, I'm like, you know
So
what?
let's do it like this. For those of you who are listening, we challenge you to sign up.
No. Well, I would love for people to do is take part in the crates challenge. The crates challenge is like just like you like to do the So Far Gone challenge, and you want to do the Shook Ones challenge. Well, I want you to touch beats that you never heard of in your fucking life, and I want to see can you attack that beat just like you attack those other beats. And then what I'm gonna give you is this: you can use beats from crates 1 and 2, so you got about 26 beats to choose from. So
How about
you got
this?
a
Take the
diverse.
challenge. Take the challenge a step further. Take the beat, go to the studio, and make a track on that. Can you do that?
I don't think I'm, the contracts kind of state I can't do that. So the chill out, Caesar. Damn it, come on.
Would have been dope, though. See,
It would have
I ain't.
been dope, but I can't be like, doing that shit because we had an issue with Versace bags and okay ho went off on my fuck on the fucking Golden Era music on our SoundCloud, and I was almost close to giving him like the Suge Knight treatment via text message. But I kept, you know, cooler heads prevailed, and he did feel wrong for the way he came out and said what the shit that he said. But I felt like, nigga, you know, you could have went about it and hit me up in my inbox and told me, like, look, your artist didn't pay for a, you know, a lease. And we would have left it at that, and I would have, you know, of course, ultimately get rid of the song. But, you know, I just ultimately got rid of the song, and he can go fuck himself, to be honest. You know, he apologized, but I'm just like, fuck you. At the end of the day, I will never, ever have my artist work with that person ever again.
Word. Okay.
But, yes, Crates 2 is out. It is free. But if you really want to support the movement, fuck it. If you want to pay for it, pay for it. Like, you know, pay a dollar, pay a penny. Oh, but no, wait a minute. SoundCloud. Not SoundCloud. Bandcamp doesn't let you pay a penny, which would suck. But, you want to pay a dollar, some yen, some euro, whatever currency you like. Yo, just you know, just, support just the movement.
No Dominican pesos.
Oh, no, man. I don't think we can take those. But at the end of the day, support the movement, yo. We're trying to give a platform to these producers, man, because at the end of the day, we live in a damn generation where these beats be saving these fucking new rappers' lives. But we're paying attention to the beat makers that don't make all those 808 beats and make these new rappers want to disrespect legends like DJ Premier and fucking Pete Rock. But we're gonna get into that later on in the episode, man. And we're gonna get into
that's gonna be a rant.
And I'm gonna get into this next thing. Good Music signs Tyga and the Migos.
Damn.
Okay. Now, the Migos is in a management deal. I didn't know. Then now it kind of makes me think, is Designer in a management deal with Good Music? Or I really don't give a fuck because he's not from Jersey. But why the fuck they signed Tyga? Like,
all right,
I wonder how Big Ghost feels right now that Tyga is signed to Good Music. Does that mean Big Ghost don't even like Shy High to Prince? Well, I think Shy High to Prince is dope as fuck. If you haven't listened to the Black History Project 1 and 2, you're a fucking idiot. That's why when I saw another podcast talking about Shy High to Prince, don't know no fucking knowledge of the fact that nigga has dope mixtapes out. Like, I've been a fan of the nigga's work. Like, you know, Big Ghost does not like Shy High to Prince. He's saying some shit like, yo, what type of, like, did fucking Shy High to Prince save Kanye from a bear attack or something? That's why he keeps giving this nigga some work. Like, that's how bad Shy High to Prince does not, I'm bad. Big Ghost does not like Shy High to Prince. But does that make Shy High better than Tyga now that he's now part of Golden Era Music? I'm sorry, before the Golden Good Music.
I was about to say, you signed Tyga?
see, fucking Logi has strayed away from his mission in life to destroy me in this season, and it is fun knowing that he forgot his mission. And but yeah.
Nah, see, I got a lot on my mind, and that's good that you sleep on me, though. That's good.
I don't sleep on you. You sleeping on me, nigga. You ain't getting the game. But yeah, you know what? I want to see where it goes from here, because at the end of the day, we got two albums that haven't came out that I'm very excited for, and that's Q-Tip's album, The Last Zulu, and Mos Def's album, and I'm still waiting for those albums to come out. I don't care how anybody really feels, they're over 40 and still make music. I clearly don't give a fuck. They make dope music. If they still make dope music, I can care less how old they
are. But who really, like, other than, like, niggas who are in their sophomore year of high school, do you really honestly think anybody really has a problem with an older head making music as long as it's dope?
Yeah, I've seen some people who are just as old as me saying like, we don't want an album from Nas and or Jay-Z. And I'd look at that person like, what the fuck are you talking to? Speak for your fucking self. I would like a Nas album right now.
I want to know who said that, honestly.
You don't. I'm not going to give that person no name on this podcast.
Oh, no, no. You can tell. I want to know off record.
Oh, good. And remind me at the end of this podcast so I can tell you. I might reveal it in the middle of a Donald Trump rant. But, yeah, like, I don't get this whole thing with this ageism in hip-hop. There's no ageism in fucking rock, pop, any of that. Fuck it. If Madonna's like 50 or 70 years fucking old, still making albums, you don't hear nobody telling her to stop making music. So shut the fuck up, you dumb nigga. Don't ever in your life tell people to stop doing what they love to do. Or saying like, oh, like, they should have been a torch pass, blah, blah, blah. Like, nigga, some of these people have passed the torch, have worked with the new rappers coming up. But you just want them to not rap. Like, nigga, that's what they fucking came in this game to do.
And you ain't see Madonna hating on Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. Now, she got on stage with them.
Now, maybe Lady Gaga, because she hate that motherfucker.
Well, that's different, because you talking about an artist who totally, like, bit her 80s swag completely.
I can argue that. I don't think she really stole the entire thing.
Born This Way is the same tone as Express Yourself.
Mm.
Exactly.
Wow.
Like, if you listen to them both, you're going to be like, yo, it's the same melody, basically.
Yeah, man. We're going to get into this hip-hop shit. Man, fuck Chris Brown. No, you know, not fuck Chris Brown. I'm just saying like this. I think there's a plot in this world to get Chris Brown offed. And that's all I'm going to say. Because I feel like this. The situation would have never happened if somebody never brought this person into his home. This person probably was stealing something that belonged to him. And he kicked out. And she accused him of pulling out a gun on her and threatening her life, which ended up being not true. She actually just fucking called somebody. She actually texted somebody and said that she was just going to call the cops on him just for revenge. So I'm going to tell you this right now. All y'all athletes, black stars, all you motherfuckers, beware of white women. Anyway,
I was gonna say, like, I thought it was like some group, like a groupie thing going on. That I didn't know it was had to do with stealing.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it was something like that, like some jewelry probably was missing. And then of course she has some things on her too. She stole like a purse from somebody, some crazy shit like that in New York. Like she has like a history of things that she shouldn't be doing, but you know. To have it that this...
So she TNT, huh? She a thieving thot.
Thieving thot, motherfucker. And, you know, at the end of the day, watch out for those motherfucking Neanderthals. Anyway, on to this disrespect that hip-hop's been getting for these new niggas. And I'm tired of people talking about how, you know, we can just, like, not listen to them. Like, nigga, they're just everywhere. On media, everything, it's hard to avoid them. And being that, you know, me and you are trying to become the most biggest media juggernauts in the motherfucking world, we're going to see this shit.
We are, and it's disgusting.
And I want to say shout out to Ab Soul.
Like,
shout out to him, man.
I would love a diss track to come out because... Like, even though, you know, he's not going to respond because he's going to be like, I think diss tracks are gay. We don't do that. You know, I like to turn up and have fun. You know, that's what he's going to say. Him getting punked, like, there's pride somewhere. Somewhere in that soft freaking Skittles heart of Lil Yachty.
Skittles heart.
There is some kind of pride in there. And... You know, one thing that he's not thinking about is when he's in his mid-20s or older. Is he even gonna be? Is he even gonna be relevant? Because like he could say, "Oh, y'all old as fuck. You mad because you ain't shining no more, and this and that." And it's like the things I'm gonna use Pete Rock for an example. Like the things that Pete Rock accomplished, even though he might not have a song on mainstream radio or being listened to by the kids or whatever, like his song with CL Smooth, they reminisce, right? That's one of my favorites. Yes, Troy. So that song every so couple years pops back into American culture. The last time I remember it did was when the PS2 had NBA Street Part 2, yep. I believe. That as soon as you turn it on, and what happened? We were all like, yo, that's so dope. Some of us remembered it from our childhood. Like, yo, I remember being a kid, and that would be on the radio, and that would be playing in people's car. All of a sudden, yo, you pull up the Kaza or the LimeWire, whatever you was using, because that's, you know, that was the era, and you downloaded that song because you heard it on the NBA game and you appreciated it. So even though, you know, you was fucking with the Camerons and the G Units and the Little Johns and, you know, all the stuff that was popular on the radio, you still showed love and, you know, you gave it up. Like, yo, that Pete Rock song was dope. It's a classic. Classics meant something, and there was a prestige if you were somebody young collecting a classic that came out when you were a kid or before you were even born. And it's like now that ain't, you know, now that ain't so much. Now you're looked at as a nerd if you're doing that.
I don't know about all that shit, to be honest. Like, I appreciate the fact that people these days who do it, they're just avid fans of music. And, you know, I don't know. Does at the end of the day, the white consumer is the biggest consumer of the music,
of hip-hop. But they're not buying this bull. That's the
Are you
thing.
Sure?
Bro,
are you sure?
Most of the white people I know, they buy hip-hop that you like, okay? They're buying Action Bronson, okay? They're buying freaking Rocky Marciano. I think that's...
They're buying Rock Marciano, Running Jewels.
Exactly. And they're buying Smoke DZA, bro, like... And Mac Miller,
and one of the things I always was so upset about was an interview on the Breakfast Club, and Killer Mike. He said that I make music for the black people, for black people and the black kids, but only the white people will love it. But that's okay, I guess. You know, like what he's trying to say is like, you know, he's making empowering music for you. He's trying to make it be understandable for you. And the only people who are taking in this music is white people. And that's kind of sad that black people aren't on this wave. And everybody, but the thing about it is.
You know why? Because most white people, they have their priorities straight, right? They already have their priorities straight. So when you're living, having your priorities straight, it's easy for you to want to listen to real shit. So, you know, you got brothers like that he's spitting that real shit. Why? He has his priorities straight. You feel me? Like, he's intelligent, and intelligent people tend to make money and have a special taste in music and will spend said money on that music. Like,
I'm gonna say this. Do you think because of the mindless trap music, the mindless, the mumble music, and they're showing all this cash, all this money, and they're showing, like, that's the imagery of success. You think that's what why the black, you know, the black audience kind of tends to go away from, like, the conscious type thing, because they feel like they're not making money?
I think, yeah, I think subconsciously it's like, yo, I ain't got shit, and I want shit so bad, and you're putting it right in my face, and when I listen to your song, for these 5 minutes, I'm balling. For these 5 minutes, I get the money, I get the cars, I got the women, and I can escape my bullshit reality. I don't want to deal with my bullshit reality, which is also why you can kind of add drug addiction into this, that, you know, the music tends to be about, you know, topics that are about addicts. And you have a lot of the fan base that, because of the music, they too become addicts because they too want to escape. So they're escaping with the drugs and the music, and the artist is escaping by doing the music and doing the drugs. Right. Like, it's a case of self-hate and a case of sadness. And at the same time, I do feel like there is a place for turning up and for having party. But when that's your only priority, then it becomes a problem.
Damn. That is some real fucking shit, to be honest. Like, I'll say it like this, man. Like, the hip-hop game, like, everybody's like saying, we need to give these mumble rappers their own separate genre. Like, look, we can't do that. Like, regardless of what they do, y'all keep saying that ain't hip hop, that ain't hip hop, that ain't real hip hop. I'm gonna tell y'all this right now. We had shitty hip hop records back in the day too.
We did. Like that, yo, Ice Baby is like leagues ahead of Little Yachty Broccoli, bro. Like, come on now. Even lyrics.
You told me about a story that you was listening to the fucking record on the radio. The radio host didn't sound like they wanted to play that shit at all.
Yeah, even the DJ is like trying to force it, and then the second time they played it, he had to let the female that was on air. She was able to be a little excited because, you know, she a female. She was talking about how she liked to bug out and get silly to the song. So, you know, she basically was saying
she out here fucking lying. That's what she fucking do. Like, I don't know how old that female probably was. Like, to be honest, like, nobody gonna be bugging out to no fucking Lil Yachty song. And most of these damn radio personalities are like 30 years old. None of these things are like 20 something years old. So that's why you have that one radio personality like, what the fuck am I playing? Like, and that just, like, the major disconnect is because this fucking radio shit has gotten out of hand to a point that the people who, like, there used to be a time where radio DJs put the dope artists on. And now they're being, like, held by the hand and chained to a list of fucking songs they had no choice but to put on to the radio. And that shit fucking sucks. And that's why radio hasn't been the same. And that's why a lot of people don't listen to radio for music no more. And that's why they hold you with people like Charlamagne, the guy, Angela Yee, or Ebro, or fucking Peter Rosenberg. It's because of the simple fact of the matter is because they know they can't get you with the music no more, because the music does not give the good ratings anymore. And I'm like wondering, like, why the fuck won't these motherfuckers change their goddamn approach to how they, so it can be a little bit more fair and balanced to every side, to the underground, to the mainstream. It's because at the end of the day, payola fucking exists. When fucking Ebro got mad at B-Dot from Radar about how the fuck they don't get payola because of whatever happened, like when they had the crackdown in radio, they almost got sued or whatever the fuck. There's still payola in radio. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody was paying Funkmaster Flex to have Al Bial on the fucking show. I wouldn't be surprised. Now he probably isn't paying to get on because now he's proved himself. But at the end of the day, you got to blame every form of media that has gotten to this point. Radio is nothing anymore. Mainstream AM, FM radio is trash. It is done. That's why podcasting is taking over, because it is taking the element of what news to keep their fucking shit online and just put it on the way it is, because no one gives a fuck about the music. Like, yeah, we're different because we play people's music and we want to put on talent. That's us. We put on talent. So when it comes down to this,
we actually radio, like to be creative and put some effort into it.
And we don't have nobody telling us who and what to play. We do it on our own. And we also ask people who also are talented and don't have no representation to, you know, let us be the ones to put y'all on. Because at the end of the day, if no, none of these motherfuckers are going to do it, at least tell the fucking world that Mr. B and Fat Caesar put you the fuck on. That's right. It. We're going to get into the first joint of the episode of the podcast, and it comes from Nis 17, Growl, and Vincent the Owl. And this joint is called Vincent Christ. You heard it here on the Indigo Podcast.
Sick and tired of everyone, so I OD on medicine. Receiving advice from all these rappers that I'm better than. Always. Guy trying to get in, effort, I'm about to let him in. Trump a white devil, I'll smack him and make him red again. Red rum, toss it back till I feel numb. Mix it with my feelings and toss it towards a conundrum. No sun, no moon, just darkness in the crack pot. I'm Jordan at the bar, I be buzzing with my last shot. I be rocking shows with Street Fighter as the backdrop. Niggas think they big, so I gotta turn off they cap slot. Moonwalk through hell like MJ in a matchbox. New Niz was a neutron, so don't even try to act shot. Every bar I hit up is always hard to remember. They don't take card, I spar with the bartender. Year 3000, I'll go on a large bender. But the essence and team never stands for surrender. Never.
The wind is nothing more. Open here, I flung the shutter. When with many a flirt and flutter in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he.
Hey, cold sweats, no less, feeling anxious. I smoke dank, smell rank, and can't fake this. This life is alarming, I'm hungry, I'm starving. Until the time that I can eat, and then I'm finally balling. I'm like, why must I go through so much pain? I started with a dollar, somehow I ended up with less change. I know I'm entitled to feel a bit just more sane. These demons devour my brain, but every day that I'm just left to fucking rot, and it's despair, it's just every day. It's every day, and it's apparent that I'm deranged. And the suicide, it seems to be the only way. And my dreams, my dreams, my dreams, yeah. They haunt me, can't sleep, yeah. And these cut deep, yeah. Count sheep, murder, eat, yeah. We the mob, I'll be deep, it's that day, yeah.
This is Johnny Knoxville. Welcome to Jackass.
Spend my days hoping that we make it with the praying hands. Cause me and Shaq's being trashed on the plane is planned. Laying sand till we same shade as Raisin Bran. Come back to Jersey with amazing tans. Your man's dumb jealous. You got something you wanna say to me, then come tell us. It's always funny, but good luck finding us when our buzz develops. Cause I'll be somewhere where it's always sunny. Only the drinks will come with umbrellas. You swear you sicker than you are, call it Munchausen. My scale of 1,000, liquor store, real browsing. My style is similar to Trump. As soon as I open my dumb mouth, it's bound to get me punched out. But I doubt it. Fast forward, breakthrough, shining. Jesus, pendant with the grapefruit, diamonds. Plus I'm trying to save up for my space suit to climb it. Fuck the world, I'm planning my escape route with lions.
And we are back on the Indie Gold Podcast.
Yo, that song's kind of suicidal, bro. Like some of the lyrics, I'm like, yo, everything I had over there with Vincent.
Like I already told you, and like you already, like we did the interview with Vincent in last season, like he ain't suicidal. And he's getting ready to expect the kid. So, yo, kudos to Vince the Owl and his beautiful wife, everybody. You know, I'm open.
Oh, word, that's what's up. See, that's what I like to hear. Yeah, congratulations.
I'm going to open this up with first and foremost. We had episode 21, and I left out some vital points in the Nate Parker rape case. And I did not, you know, state that the victim actually committed suicide in 2012. And I think that's very irresponsible of me to not put out those vital points. And, you know, if you know my opinion, I am going to see the movie still. I'm still going to see Birth of a Nation because I'm not seeing it for Nate Parker. I'm seeing it for the historical context, even though I've heard some things about there being a rape scene in the movie that has nothing to do with the historical context of the transcript of the story I forgot the person's name. Nat Turner's revolution, and that was kind of weird. And you know what's so bad about it is that the two people, you know, we had Nate Parker, who's the star of the film, and he directed the film. Person who was also co-conspirator in that rape trial as a writer, in Celestine, which I find it very weird, you know, for both of them to be working together after like that whole thing. But I'm not gonna like insinuate anything, you know. Jean Celestine was found guilty while, you know, Nate Parker was found. I mean, I'm sorry, Jean Celestine was found guilty while Jean Celestine. Well, I'm sorry, I'm fucking up. Nate Parker was found not guilty, and Jean Celestine was found guilty of that whole entire trial. And I'll tell you this right now, I'm not, you don't take nothing like rape lightly. There's a lot of bullshit that is going on in this country that's just kind of weird. Like, you have Brock Turner going to jail only for 3 months for a rape. It's almost as similar to the same case as Nate Parker. And I'm not trying to say, like, we should, like, you know, we should be having the same fucking, like, punishment. I'm just trying to say, like, look, y'all need to take a look at this fucking justice system and how this shit has been running and how...
Privilege.
Well, I'm not saying privilege because at the end of the day, I don't want to say that, yeah, if you're white, you're going to get away with... you know, you don't get away with rape or whatever crime you commit. But when it comes to black people, I'm expecting a major sentence. But I feel like everybody should get the same sentence. If you commit rape, your ass should be going under the jail for about 20 something years. Because we're having these damn instances now that these black people are going to jail for rape for 20 years, but you got these white people avoiding jail time because they're afraid they're gonna end up in jail. Like, they had this one incident where this fucking white kid was selling cocaine, and they fucking let this nigga go so he can avoid jail. Like, this is bullshit. Like, to be honest, like. But back to the whole. Let's back to the whole Nate Parker thing. Is there a lot of like is there something that's very suspicious that I read into just recently? Yes, there is a lot of suspicious shit for her, from the woman being harassed by both of them because she went to the cops, all types of other shit. Yeah, I can say that. But what I've always said about, like, I do want to see Birth of a Nation. I never knew anything about this whole Nate Parker rape thing until the last 2 months of them putting this movie out, like, so part of me felt like this is too fucking planned to be happening during the time of a movie that's going to be talking about, you know, the slave revolution. You know, even though it was a failed slave revolution, but still, at the end of the day, it can still give empowerment. But I don't know how to really feel about that. Like, you know, Gabrielle Union, who also was a rape victim herself, made a letter to, you know, we can't take these accusations lightly. But I really feel like, yeah, we shouldn't take these accusations lightly. And onto this Brock Turner thing, like, I just really feel that this is not right. And somebody said, like, oh, this has nothing to do with black people. And that's not what we're trying to say. What we're trying to say is that why the fuck does this man rape a woman who is fucking incapacitated behind the garbage can, and he is caught by two people, and he gets away with it for 3 fucking months. He gets to go to jail for 3 months just because it would ruin his life. Woman, his life was ruined. He's probably going to register as a sex offender, so he's going to be ruined for the rest of his life. So the best thing they could have done was put him under the fucking jail like they've done any rapist.
Or maybe they're not going to have him register. You know, he's getting all this favoritism.
Shit. I really hope that everybody starts looking a little bit more into the justice system and how things have been working for the past couple of years. And, you know, I feel sorry for the person who got raped. I really do. Because this man gets to be free. And he did the fucking crime. Like, there's no smoke and mirrors behind. He did the crime. It's just that the fucking judge, who I think should be fired and disbarred, fucking felt that, oh, he's just a kid, which I'm still on that Ryan Lochte shit where they say, oh, boys can be boys, but the motherfucker's 32. Basically. Come on. Come on, yo. That's some bullshit. And I'm at this point right now where I think if a white person says one ignorant shit about black people ever again, I will never argue to them about race and what our oppression is. I will never argue with that person because that person's ignorant and not even worth having the word being thrown at them. Because I think we're going to get to a point where we just not going to tell white shit because they don't get it. Some people don't get it. There are people who understand what the hell's going on. They want us to all be equal and want us to be united. All of us be united. From white, black, you know, white, black, Chinese, anything. They want us all to be united. And a lot of this fucking media, this propaganda that's out right now is being very separatist. And I'm just getting really, really tired of it, man. And I can't believe I actually got a lot of shit to say in the news and politics section. This is usually your thing, Caesar.
Yeah, you're right. But I knew you would get a kick out of this, though.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I would. Because, you know, it's worth it. And you got Donald Trump going to a black church in Detroit. I'm going to say this.
Hey, he couldn't even sway, right? You saw him when they were singing the hymn?
Yo, I saw that shit. That shit was mad rehearsed as hell. And one thing, Omarosa does not represent black people. And I know Michael Clark died, so he wouldn't catch a domestic charge from snuffing his wife and supporting an open racist. But I just didn't understand. He's really trying his best to get the black vote. And he starts doing the speech, and he said, like, this speech just comes from my heart. But, you know, I don't know what it means, but, you know, you might know what it means. And then he starts talking stuff about Abraham Lincoln. And I was like, okay, I know what you're trying to do, and you're stupid. And if you know the true story about black people getting freed as slaves, and it's not really about us being seen as human beings, but seen as, like, you know what, they need a way to make money and they find a way to make us as citizens. You know, I had to really like do my research onto that one. I want to make sure that y'all get that. Like, Lincoln ain't free shit. He just let us just walk roam free. That's all he did. And of course, he talked about how he was a Republican and all the other shit. I was just like, you know what? It is what it is. Like, he's going to try his best to get the vote, even though I know he's trying to lose. It is what it is. Like, what do you feel about that?
So, hold up. So, you really believe that he's trying to lose?
Yeah, nigga. Why would he? Look, he's trying to lose with style. Like, at this point, I feel like, you know what? There's no way he can get away with saying all this shit and not think, like, yeah, I hope to lose this whole entire fucking election. But then he ends up getting in, and I'm like, I didn't really mean all the shit I said. Like, I have a feeling he don't mean that shit. But I think he's racist, though, because there's no way in hell he can come up with all that shit. But, you know.
Nah, I definitely think he's racist. But I think right now, I think he actually wants to win, because that's the only reason he'd be even doing something like this. And he thinks he's doing something good, but we know he looks like a dumbass doing it. But he knows, and his own advisors probably told him, like, look, this is a different era. If you want that White House, there are three demographics of people you need. You need African Americans, you need Latinos, and you need LGBT.
And he made sure that he was fucking all that up. Like,
oh, when he went to Mexico, that whole thing was crazy when he went to Mexico.
I'm surprised he didn't get killed. I'm very surprised. He must have had the best.
Oh no, they didn't kill him. They wanted to show him, like, look, we have more class and are more, you know, we conduct business and we conduct ourselves better than you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think killing him would have just made him, he would have been a hero. I could just hear it. Like, all the racist white people are like, God bless Donald Trump. He died fighting for our liberty.
Oh, boy. No. Fuck all that. But Trump, for one thing, I think somebody's been listening to the Trump on cabinet on low, because we talked about this in episode 21, and that's, you know, Foundation extorting Haiti.
Well, you know, WikiLeaks put out a bunch of information on the Clinton Foundation, so that's probably where it came from.
And shout out to Julian Assange for making WikiLeaks, because we need to know what the fuck our government has planned on us, even though we already know what they got planned. But still, it's good that we have people who are for the people, not for the government. So, yeah, man, he just, like, he accused them of failing to redevelop Haiti after the 2010 earthquake. You know, he said that while Haiti has suffered, the Clintons and their pals have cashed in. Bill and Hillary's brothers have signed in housing deals, and one of them wound up being on the gold mining, being a part of a gold mining company. And I've already said this shit in 21. I'm just glad now it's on mainstream media and somebody like Trump. I'm sad it has to be Trump that has to say it, but, you know, at least...
You know, he pays people to dig and to research. You know, you got to give him that. You know, he's a dirty player, but he tries to play the game.
The Indigo Podcast is on platforms such as Stitcher and iTunes, but we need your help. We need you to rate and comment on these platforms so we can be more visible to the public. So if you're a fan of the podcast and you use iTunes and Stitcher, please rate and comment. It'll be greatly appreciated. And thank you for tuning in every week with the hottest podcast on the internet, the Indigo Podcast. Now back to the show. Oh, man, like Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
I'm not getting this whole thing with people. Now, people are still mad. people are still mad. He's taking a kneel now, and people are still mad. I don't get it. Like, I really don't get it. Like, now you're mad at him that he didn't stand for the national Star Spangled Banner, whatever the fuck. And you know, he had a meeting with some army people from the army, and you know, they had a conversation.
A lot of them support him though.
They support him. And that's the funny thing about it. Y'all are talking about a lot of these people, well, I think, are white and live in the backwoods and have Confederate flags on their cabins and shit. But they're just going the fuck in on him. But I'm like, why the fuck are these armed force soldiers supporting Kaepernick for then? Because a lot of y'all motherfuckers read nothing but headlines. And not only read nothing but headlines, but y'all just like one thing. Because this man, yes, he did say, I'm not standing up for the flag for the injustice of black people, that there's bodies still on the street and cops are not being held accountable. And what y'all sons of bitches have not, I don't think y'all ever caught this one part. Even though it's actually like about a 10-minute long interview after the whole shit happened. There was this one part he said, and they asked, one of the people asked him, the U.S. soldiers and the armed forces that, you know, do what they do for our country, respect them. But it comes to a point when they're not being respected, and some of them end up being poor and not being treated right by America.
And you know what? One thing that y'all got to understand about this whole situation is the fact that if this country is supposed to be the land of the free, home of the brave, and all these rights, and everybody gets treated good, this country doesn't live by its values.
They don't live by its values. And I'm just like saying, when people keep saying like, oh, like the armed forces fight for our freedoms, I'm sitting here like, look, if, what does it have to do with anything? If your ass is telling me I have to do something, if I'm supposedly free.
But you know what this is really about.
I know what it really is about. I'm not, like, come on. I like to play to the simpletons and stuff like that. I know the truth hurts a lot of people, and I really don't like to, like, make their world. But, yeah, I just feel the matter of the fact of the matter. I'm tired of people saying, like, oh, he should have did that when he signed his contract. He should have did this when this. Look, I'm going to tell you this right now. The key to wanting to take a stand is financial freedom. He signed a $100 million contract. He's good. He has financial freedom. He didn't say that he was impressed. He didn't say he was oppressed. He's talking about the people. He didn't say that he's ungrateful. He's not grateful for all the opportunity he's been given. But he wants everybody to get a fair shake.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. And everybody says, like, you shouldn't have did it that way. Look, I'm going to tell you this right the fuck now. We've done everything from rioting to peaceful protests to all this other shit. What the fuck else can we do?
Even more so, we fought in the armed forces, because I'm going to quote a friend of mine. I'm not going to say his name to protect him, but I have a friend of mine who is a vet. And he said like this, I fought in the war and shed my blood and almost gave my life so that you have the liberty to call me nigger.
You see? Y'all talking all this patriotism shit. Y'all niggas is fucking liars. Y'all not patriots. Y'all are fucking frauds. I want y'all to understand that. And I'm just going to say this right now. Don't be mad at Colin Kaepernick. Be mad at the NFL that doesn't make it a requirement for you to stand during the fucking national anthem. Don't get mad at Colin Kaepernick for wearing the socks with the pigs on it. You mad at the company who made the motherfucking socks. I don't get this shit. Like, I'm like, you don't get mad at the fucking person doing the damn deed. Get mad at the fact that there's systems and there's things in place that can have, that can be out in the public. Shut the fuck up. Everybody wants to be selective with their fucking outrage. People really, like, I don't get it. For these last couple of fucking weeks, we've been having it with people getting mad, oh, your hand's not over your heart during the Star Spangled Banner. I'm sitting here like, I never put my hand on the fucking motherfucker.
And I'm not going to go into the full details on the song, but do your research on the song, and the song is actually really racist.
And I'm all for changing Spangled Banner to a Dipset anthem. And it's,
today's the new day. Got the Poudet up in the center. Take it up to Harlem. Tell them that I sent you.
Because all y'all white fuckers will probably. I'm going to tell y'all something about myself. I don't understand the concept of liberal, leftist, conservative, none of that shit. I just see what the fuck I see, and I see if it. I don't even know if I'm even a Republican or a fuck. I don't know if I'm a Democrat. I don't grasp the concept of leftist, conservative, any of that stuff. I don't understand it. Cause I'm like, where did this shit come from? I don't care for it. All about is but what's wrong, what's right and what's wrong, and what's best for me and what's not best for me. I don't get this fucking society where you supposedly say we have these freedoms, but you fucking contradict yourself. Tired with this rhetoric of bullshit. So I'm just gonna say this right now, man. I stand with Colin. I fucking sit, kneel, whatever, with Colin Kaepernick. I do have a cousin who's going into the Marines, so you know. And I already told him I wasn't the biggest fan of it. I'm not a big fan of being the fucking an oil mule for the fucking government. But if he didn't have direction, being amongst society, I hope he can come back with a different sense of direction. I hope he has a plan in life. And I don't know how to really feel about the whole situation, to be honest, but it's what it is. So PlayStation Pro.
Yes, PlayStation Pro. PlayStation 4 Pro, because I don't want y'all to think that this is some kind of a whole new system, but I got I got all the basics, all the basic answers, and I'm gonna run it down.
Yo, Sway, he got the answers.
I'm gonna run it down. Yes, Sway, I got the answers. So first, I know y'all asking, well, how much is this thing gonna cost? So you're looking at $399.
Oh, the regular price of the regular PS4.
Well, the regular PS4 is now going to be $299, so.
Oh, okay.
So that's the first thing. And it's going to launch in November 10. Will you have to buy new kind of games? No. All the games that you have now in your PS4 and all the games coming out for the PS4 will also be playable on the PS4 Pro. Will the PS4 Pro require a 4K TV? This is a little complicated. PS4 Pro can display a higher resolution than the standard PS4 when using a 4K TV. But if you own a regular HD TV that does 720p, 1080p, PS4 Pro can still improve your gaming experience because it has HDR and it's just going to render, it has higher processors, so it's going to render the graphics a little better, you know, it's going to be less buggy, and we're looking at a good lock of 60 frames on everything. So this is how it'll work, you know, depending on your TV. If you have 4K content, right? 2K or less than 1080p content will be shown on a regular TV. Now, if you have a 2K TV, it's optimized to 1080p.
Wait a minute, is there something as a 2K television? I never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a little less. It's a little less than 4K. They're not that popular because, like,
yes,
because 4K, like, 4K came out the blue not that much after 2K, and is already becoming like the next thing. Because what 4K basically is, 2160p.
Right.
So that is, you know, that's what you're going to get with the PS4 Pro at max level. So another question that a lot of people have is, will it be compatible with my PS4 downloaded games and my save data and my PlayStation Network friends list? Yes.
Nigga, yes, yes. Everything's going to be a part, man. We're dragging this shit out a bit too long. We know, like, some of this shit is like dead center. We already know what's going to happen. All people really need to know is that, can he play the games? And one thing you did tell me, you did say that this one was going to have removable
This is going to be more customizable. I was reading about how, you know, it's going to have an SD card somewhere. You'll be able to do the whole external hard drive thing. And there's supposed to be some updates that is going to get after 2 weeks, some firmware that's going to add some additional features. But I'm not aware of those features yet. But I know one thing I'm going to say is their version of Netflix will be able to stream all the movies in 4K. And YouTube will be in 4K also. But that app, the YouTube app, is in development. It's not out yet, but that's going to be on the Pro. And from what I'm hearing, it is exclusive for now for the PlayStation. So Scorpio might not be getting YouTube in 4K. But wow, what it doesn't have is 4K Blu-ray player. Honestly, that doesn't bother me because we stream most of our movies today.
Well, yeah, illegally, but still. Unlike me, I like to buy Blu-rays and I like to buy my movies outright. I like to support.
Oh, but you could buy your regular Blu-rays. I'm talking about these 4K Blu-rays.
I never knew that shit even existed, to be honest.
I didn't either, but supposedly it does, and Microsoft is gloating like, ha, 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 you know, we can run 4K Blu-rays, you can't.
No one gives a fuck, Microsoft. God damn it. But I'm going to get into Kevin Owens becoming the Universal Champion, which, you know, I guess, you know.
I don't know how I feel about that belt.
I don't care for the belt, to be honest. I don't like the name of the belt, but now it's kind of growing on me because, you know what? They're giving the new guys a chance to have a run, and I'm liking that. I feel like Kevin Owens, who's not the typical Vince McMahon prototype of a wrestler, because, you know, Vince McMahon likes the you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger body steroid motherfuckers, but Owens being the guy who runs Raw, the flagship show, is something different.
Well, his character, you know, his character that he runs with definitely deserves it. I mean, he's one of the most entertaining new guys.
Yeah, he is. I think he's funny as hell, to be honest. I think he's really good at what he does. When he does commentating, when he does all types of other things, I think he's really good at the entire wrestling business as a whole. I think he's a full package. Yeah, he's not, you know, in shape looking, but it doesn't matter. The man knows how to really put on good matches. Not good matches, but amazing matches, to be honest. So it's not like they're giving it
even
to somebody.
Even on a digital level, have you ever fought him in 2K17 in my career mode?
2K16, you mean? No, I have not.
Oh, I have, and let me tell you, he can go in on hard.
No, so you use hard mode. I'm the dickhead who plays this shit on normal and never go past that shit unless it's like for a trophy. But I think the direction is really going well with Raw, and I want to see how far they flesh out the storyline. I want to know what caused, like now I want to know what caused Triple H to want to interfere on Seth Rollins. Like that was Triple H's golden boy. Now you found out that Seth Rollins wasn't his golden boy.
It's obvious. It's like this. It's like, oh, you failed me because you couldn't stop Roman Reigns. So you know what?
Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that's true. So it's like, yeah, you failed me. So now I'm gonna try somebody new.
And that's what it's looking like. Everybody's saying it's for NXT, but I'm like, everybody from Roman to Dean to Seth and everybody else was in NXT. So I want to see where this goes. I want to see what the storyline becomes. I want to know, because a lot of people are saying some live speculation to, like, you know, Triple H is trying to get back into the picture of being in Raw, and she's trying to get Mick Foley fired. I don't know what the hell. I've heard that's a rumor. But
and what about the rumor about Finn Balor versus The Undertaker next year at WrestleMania?
That the Demon King. Well, that's not a rumor, because still the rumor is John Cena versus Undertaker. And I think
that is so gay, honestly. But
yeah, but we talk about political correctness. But anyway. But when it comes down to it all, like, I think, like, for that, I don't have no problem with John Cena no more as a wrestler. I think it really got to a point that it got into his head that people just don't like him because he uses the same damn moves. So he started adding more moves to repertoire. And the last match he just had with AJ Styles was borderline classic. I will say that.
No, so, it was. Listen, I'm not saying he can't put on a good match. I'm just tired of John Cena, period.
Well, I'm not tired of him. Now he's off TV, which is great. He's off TV. They wrote him out. They made it that AJ Styles has taken him out of the picture. Crazy that Vince McMahon would put all that on AJ Styles. Now that he's the number one merchandise guy right now, AJ Styles is number one. So this goes into saying, the Bullet Club runs wrestling.
They're the new NWO, definitely.
They run wrestling. And it's not like how the NWO is only confined to WCW. Because Kenny Omega already said the Bullet Club, like a lot of people saying that the Bullet Club's going to fucking break up. The Bullet Club's not going to break up. It's a thing that's for life. And it's something that's very up the entire industry, because you have it that you have them in New Japan, you have them in Ring of Honor, now you have them in the WWE wrestling. You have AJ Styles who's now
wrestling Illuminati.
You have AJ Styles who Vince McMahon now likes. He wished he signed him 10 years ago. Now he wants to put a belt on him. Now I don't know about this bullshit that Ryback was saying about how they wanted to put him in a match and fucking, you know, Ryback in the match with AJ Styles at WrestleMania, so he could squash the little twerp. I'm sitting here like, this untalented steroid using motherfucker. I know he didn't fucking say that shit. Wasn't Carl Anderson, who was in a feud with the New Day, which has now exceeded the record for the longest reigning tag team championships. Now they're trying to find a way to get the tag belts off of the New Day, and it might end up being the Club and Carl Anderson. So that might be a possibility. You have Adam Cole, who's a new member of the Bullet Club, and now he's the Ring of Honor world champion. He won it from Jay Lethal. Kenny Omega, who wins the G1 Climax Championship. He was a part of a tournament. I think it was over 50 wrestlers. I don't know how many matches it was. And he's the first ever North American Canadian to ever win.
Wow.
This year. And you got the Young Bucks, with as the most talked about tag team in this generation. Taming. They're dope at what they do. And then you have Finn Balor, who is the true founder. Prince Devitt, who used to be he was the founder of the Bullet Club, along with Carl Anderson. He's the first ever, he was the first ever Universal Champion. You know, he got that shit cut short by Seth Rollins for doing that fucking buckle powerbomb into a fucking, people try to like fight me on this with the whole buckle bomb thing. And I'm like, Sting got the same treatment. Now he can't fucking wrestle no more. Like, I think he needs to take that move. I just think it doesn't work for WWE. It doesn't work. Especially when they're trying to protect their damn wrestlers. And now you have that Finn Balor has like a really bad like shoulder injury. Like, really bad. And there might be some long time, you know, rehab. But the Bullet Club runs wrestling, people. Y'all need to get on with the Bullet Club and watch Ring of Honor. Find a way to watch it. Go online. There's videos on YouTube. Find a way to watch New Japan. Dope. So, and these people that I've mentioned might end up being in the WWE by next year. You know, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, their contracts are going to be up with New Japan very soon.
Yep, and they do like getting all the new talent from there.
Yeah, is Triple H poaching a lot more? Yes, he is. Like, he now, because the thing about Triple H that I do like is that he does see talent. He does understand there's a new shift in this business. And that it can't be all about strong men looking niggas all the fucking time. It's all about who can really entertain. I really hope they do get people, which I've been hearing they're gonna be signing Ricochet very soon. They're gonna be signed. I hope they do get Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay is super dope. If they got back Evan Bourne, who's now wrestling as Matt Sydal. And I think in Ring of Honor, and he stepped his game up. Like, he is one of the most, like, he's like, people fucking love him. So like I said, like this new age of wrestling is gonna get better. I think the WWE will get better when Stephanie McMahon and Triple H and fucking Vince McMahon does not have any say in who makes it. There needs to be a change in how things are run. I know Triple H and Vince McMahon run the entire all the shows together. Like, they say they always do it together. It's not like they never do it. So yeah. All right. So what are your thoughts on now this new surgence of underground wrestlers? Now they're on WWE radar.
I just think, you know, it was bound to happen. Like, you know, they have a following, and there's so many people that are into these new guys that, you know, anybody that's smart enough to make money. And I think Vince McMahon, Triple H, you know, I think that whole corporation, they're smart. They know how to make money, and they know their ratings were going down, and now ratings have been going up with this new generation.
I don't know if it's really been going up. I think the Raw show is going to lose its identity, like, because they want, you know, SmackDown said it's going to be like the pure wrestling show, and he's trying to see becoming more of the flashy show and doing more has to do with story and stuff like that, not much of the wrestling. And that kind of sucks. I don't really know, because now it's still the ratings for SmackDown is kind of low. it seems like the brand split has not really helped it, because a lot of people who were part of the brand split that went to SmackDown, a lot of those people got written off TV, like John Cena and such. So it kind of really sucks for you know, Shane and Daniel and all the people, all the talent that's already over there at SmackDown. So yeah, like, we can't say that, but I do agree. Like, these people are now having a following, and I think it's best for WWE to jump on that, because being that the WWE hires these performers as independent contractors because of their, you know, of their merchandise and stuff like that, they can bring it to a whole nother level, being that they have such a big fan base and they can make money along with them. And it's like it's a business relationship. So, and I want to see Kenny Omega have a run in the WWE. I want to see the Young Bucks. I most definitely want to see Ricochet, Will Ospreay, people. They might bring back Rey Mysterio, because I think he's wrestling the best he's ever been in years in Luchador Underground. I think he would be a dope fit in today's WWE. And Kurt Angle, I don't really know, man. I think he looks fucking old as fuck, but he still can wrestle, but he just looks really but I think he will have one more run. I think Kurt Angle will have one more run. I think he'll have one more run in WWE if they let him come back. And that's it for the show today, man. Like, if you want to fuck with us for real, man, you better follow us on Twitter at MrB_201 and FatCaesar305. And I want to thank y'all all for tuning in to Indigo Podcast. Now, we might be having Rejects Radio Worldwide's co-sign premiering this one on the radio. It's going to be a track from the first time we ever gonna have our music being played, well, not our music, but his music being played on this podcast. And it's just gonna be this one track, and I'm gonna let Pulse explain it to you, man.
So the track is called You Won't Know It, and it's just basically about how you just go through different things and different stages of your life, and you just honestly never gonna really know how you got there till you got there. It's like, you know, it's self-explanatory, but it has that classic vibe. Like, I took it back. It has like a Duck Down 90s, like, you like when Duck Down would do, you know, like summertime like stuff, like like, what's that? Like Bucktown, how you had those horns, you had the jazz. Yeah,
Black Moon, like Black Moon, right?
Yeah, like Black Moon. Black Moon. There we go, yeah, like Black Moon. I would say you could compare it to something like Black Moon, you know. It got the dope jazz samples, and the beat just honestly reminds me of New Jersey in the summertime. So I was just like, yo, I'm going to take it back to my roots on this.
And you're hearing it here first, You Won't Know It by Fat Caesar. And we thank you for tuning in to the Indigo Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Let me take you to a laid-back journey, you know what I'm saying? Sign for that summertime. For that spring weather, you feel me? You won't know it till it grows, till it grows, till it grows. You won't know it till it shows, till it shows, till it shows. You won't know it till it blows, 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 till it blows. Till it blows.
From my humble beginnings, I was meant to be winning. On my knees saying prayers, hoping God forgives sinning. My taste for material, chrome wheel spinning. Money for the wife, see me draped in linen. I was poor as a kid, grew up with my mom. She said I was the greatest, that one day I would be on. She was never wrong, mama was a prophet. God gave me talent, ain't nobody gonna stop it. Music always classic, I will never flop, kid. The best at what I do, you gotta watch me rock it. I'm the alpha of my pride, bumpin' Dre, let me ride. I'm an old school nigga with a soul deep inside. I'm an OG, smooth, so a nigga so wise. When the shades come on, it's cause I wanna get fly. But hide my intentions with my spirit through my eyes. At a state of bliss, now watch me kiss the sky. You won't know it till it grows, till it grows. You won't know it till it shows, till it shows. You won't know it till it blows, till it blows. Till it blows, till it blows, till it blows, till it blows. I'm the last of a breed, I got what you need. Told you I am coming fat, Caesar gave you heed. Hip hop is mine, so sign away the deed. Respected by the true, loyal to a few. When it comes to music, know that I'll be paying dues. Lived a hard life, could you walk up in my shoes? Elite with the rhymes, old school with the crew. So electrified, it's like I'm burning on a fuse. What do you believe? Hold my music's what you choose. My little homie died by the hand of the pistol. So I need to win like Israelis with missiles. Riding on Fricko, trying to live simple. But I need cheese, plus the ham and the pickles. Talking that guap, yeah, nigga need funds. Plus I'm trying to lose weight, I ain't going like fun. Trying to live balance, gotta grind it then fun. You won't know it till it grows, till it grows. You won't know it till it shows, till it shows. Till it blows, till it blows, till it blows, till it blows.